listening to Sherpa Legends, a presentation of the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast.
Welcome back. Episode 3 of our Sherpa Legends.
These are conversations with youth ministry men and women who have achieved legendary status in youth ministry. And man, today we are so excited about what you're about to hear.
This is the definition of a legend.
Yeah, it really is.
Today we had the privilege of talking to the man, the myth, the legend,
Josh Griffin.
Oh, so much fun. Like drinking from a fire hose in the best way possible.
Yeah, it's so great. So great. We are so grateful for the time that Josh gave us. So, you know, I've been listening to the DYM, the Download Youth Ministry podcast.
For a long time.
For a long time. They're in the hundreds of episodes. And I've been listening for probably 10 years, maybe. And just have appreciated their conversation and camaraderie. I always felt like I was just part of the family in their podcast. And then we got the chance.
Oh, this fall was so much fun. Steve and I had the opportunity to go to the DYM 200 conference. So there was only 200 people there. So it was a little more small and intimate of a gathering. Got to hang out with some really cool youth workers.
Yes.
And got to actually meet the man, the myth, the legend, Josh Griffin.
Not just meet him, but like hang out on the beach with them.
Yeah.
Because we got this beach party house on the shores of the Pacific Ocean.
Beach house. Let's just go with beach house.
Okay. Just go with beach house.
All right. It was a party house. We had a good time.
Yeah. There were 10 of us in the house. And, you know, the rumor was, well, Josh is going to stop over and see this house because he heard about it. And we got to the last day of the conference and it hadn't happened yet. I'm sure they were really busy.
Oh, of course. I kept thinking, there's no way that he's coming over because he's running a conference, right? Like, yeah. I know what it's like to run an event.
I mean, we were exhausted. So we get to the end of it. It's like 11:30. After it's over, we go back to the house and getting ready for bed. And who shows up?
Josh Griffin shows up.
It was just so great. So we hung out on the beach. We talked. We got to be friends. And he was just so accessible to us and offered his voice on our podcast, which was a real honor for us.
Yeah. And really, talking with him was kind of like almost the impetus for this idea of Sherpa Legends. And so we're going to just go ahead and acclaim that Josh Griffin was the inspiration behind this new show.
He's not only the founder of Download Youth Ministry with Doug Fields, he's also, in some sense,
the inspiration behind Sherpa Legends.
Yeah. What you're going to hear today is Josh's story, how he got called into youth ministry and what eventually led him to Saddleback and all that kind of stuff. And it's just so much good stuff. You're going to love it.
So enjoy our conversation with Josh Griffin.
Well, we are really excited today to have with us someone that you all know and love. Welcome, Josh Griffin.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Oh, the crowd goes wild. Oh,
hey, exactly. Can you hear him in the back?
Yeah, I didn't know we'd have a stadium filled with people here today. That's great. Yeah.
Well, we did provide some pyrotechnics because I heard you're into that now when you speak.
Dude, okay, this is a true story. I met this church in North Carolina, and they have pyrotechnics at their discipleship retreat. It was the greatest moment of my life. I walked out to my own walkout song, We Will Rock You, and pyrotechnics.
That's amazing.
That's a bucket list item right there, man.
It was awesome.
I'm just glad you didn't catch on fire because that could be bad.
Well, dude, it uses this thing. I researched it right away because I was like, I want several of those. And it uses this stuff called cold spark, and you can put your hand over the top of the flames and it will not burn you. Really? I didn't actually try that, but that's what the website said.
Okay.
And if you read it on the internet, it must be true.
It's true. Everything on the internet's true, of course.
Okay. Oh, we're definitely going to buy one of those. Check that out.
Yeah. Well, and I would just say they're very expensive at retail, but on eBay, they were pretty cheap. So I'm always working for an angle. That, if you don't know anything about me, that's all you need to know right there.
Always looking for the angle.
So, Josh, we met out at DYM 200, which was just a great event. We had a blast at that. We were really excited the night after the conference was over when you decided to visit the beach party house on the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd heard about this house all week. So DYM 200 is an event for 200 people out here in California at the Download Youth Ministry headquarters. And you guys, a bunch of guys had put together some dough to get an Airbnb or something.
Yeah, it was like a vacation rental by owner or something. Yeah.
It was extraordinary. So I heard about it all week. And finally, yeah, I was like, that's it. I am exhausted. I have nothing left to give, but I must set foot in this house. And it did not disappoint. And you guys didn't disappoint. I loved hanging and having a cold grape soda on the ocean. It was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, we even had a bonfire out there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and the waves were licking at our feet and the fire right there. Like, it was awesome.
It was a moment. Really, really, it was a moment. I felt like it was a moment.
Yeah, it was definitely a moment. And I will say this, I listened to your show previous to that, but really, really liked you guys as a result of just the realness and, like, you're just normal youth workers trying to figure this thing out. And I really appreciated that, because you could have come in as like, we have this big podcast and we're a big deal. And I just loved it that you guys were painfully normal. So yes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a compliment.
Yes, I'll take it so. That way.
I think so. It is, yeah. It is. I will just say this. I've done youth ministry for a long time and have met a lot of youth workers. And I like meeting youth workers and be pleasantly surprised, because too often, you know, I'm disappointed when you meet someone that you listen to their podcast or you get to meet in real life and you're like, oh, they were different than I thought they were going to be. And it was just fun meeting you guys. And I've met others like you that I'm just like, they're legit. And so it just made me happy. And it was just a really special memory, too. That was fun.
Thanks. And, you know, one of the things that we loved about that night is we asked you a couple questions that just kind of opened up the past for you. And it was really fascinating. And it was that conversation that kind of led us to this idea of this new show, of having conversations with people about where they've been and how they got into youth ministry in the first place, and just their personal stories, which is something that we don't, I don't think, get enough of in the youth ministry world. So that kind of leads us into some of the things we want to talk about with you today. Get some of your past and your history and share your story with us, if that's okay with you.
Love it. I'd be honored to do that. Yeah, I'm in. That was a fun night. I know that we can recreate it all. Maybe you can put some ocean waves behind us or something.
Yeah, when we edit this, we'll throw in some ocean waves, yeah, just to make it legit.
Get some sound effects so that it all fits. No, I'm happy to. I mean, I think one of the temptations is when you meet somebody, you see them in their current state, like they've been in youth ministry for 5 years or 10 years or 23 years, and you don't remember the journey and the good and the bad and the ugly of how they got there. Like, they've survived a lot. Like, anytime I meet a youth worker and they've been at their church, like I met a guy last week, I was in Texas. He'd been at his church for 12 years. And I went to him and to his wife and I just said, thank you for serving in 12 years. Because I don't know your church, I don't know your culture, but if you've survived in the church world for 12 years, you have survived some really ugly things. Like, when someone leaves after 2 years, I'm like, you know ministry a little bit, but 12 or whatever, you have seen the dark side of the church. You have seen us at not our best moment, and you still love and faithfully serve that church. And so, for what it's worth, I think people's stories are really valuable, especially people that have stuck it out for a while somewhere.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, then let's rewind the tape. Josh, when did you know that you wanted to be a youth pastor? I mean, when did it sort of dawn on you that, hey, this is my thing?
Yeah. Well, it was really late in comparison to maybe some people that know as a teenager, like, I'm going to be in ministry or whatever. I didn't ever have that feeling. And in fact, my dad was a pastor, and my dad said all the time, he said, don't be a pastor, don't be a pastor, don't be a pastor. And so Which is a funny thing for a dad who is a good dad and a good pastor to say, but that always just kind of rung in my head. Like, okay, I don't feel the pressure from my dad to follow in his footsteps. Like, that's pretty cool, actually. So, but my senior year of college, I was talking to the dean of men, and it was a forgettable conversation. It was just a normal thing. And he paused in the middle of it and said, hey, you should be a youth pastor. How are you? Why are you going to go into business? You should be a youth pastor, and everybody knows it except you. And so I was like, wow, okay, well, thank you, I guess. I don't know, move on. And then I just couldn't shake that conversation. Like, it just rattled around inside of my head over and over again. And I thought maybe he was right. And so it was the voice of a mentor that really started that conversation to me, and that opening of the idea that there might be a calling there. And I went to my fiance and I said, babe, it's funny, the dean of men thinks I should be a youth pastor. What do you think? And she gets all emotional, and she's like, I think you're supposed to be a youth pastor, and I've known it, and you finally understand it now, but I've known all along. And I'm like, what in the world? Okay, maybe I am. I don't know. And then I went to my dad, and I said, Dad, I've been praying about this and thinking about this, and I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be a youth pastor. And he said, absolutely, you're supposed to be a youth pastor. Uh-huh. And I've known it my whole life. It's about time you figured it out. And he said, the only reason I told you no is that I wanted to make sure that you never heard your father's voice instead of your heavenly father's voice.
Wow.
And so that when he called you, you would know. And that, so I said, Dad,
very cool.
I know. I said, Dad, I'm going to tell that story and make it a little better for the rest of my life.
Because that's what youth pastors do. They embellish well.
That's right. Yeah, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. That's for sure. But it did go remarkably similar to that moment. And literally from that moment on, the cards just immediately fell into place. I was working at a church about 6 weeks later, full time, graduated and got a position, said yes to the first church that was interested. they paid terribly, and I didn't do any investigation whatsoever. But I knew I was called. Mm-hmm. And the most important part about your calling too is, and I don't know if, you know, someone listening today is struggling with their church or their calling or whatever, but the reason why I like telling that story and it matters to me and I enjoy sharing it even is just because in youth ministry, things, they're good, they're bad, and they're ugly. And you need your calling on all of those terms. So when things are good, you need your calling to keep you humble and grounded. And when things are bad, you need your calling to go, I can get through this, and I'm called to this, and I can do it. And then when things get ugly, which inevitably will happen in your youth ministry career, you need to know that God is bigger than this situation, that he is doing work in you greater than this church. And so it pushes you to rest in your calling. Even when things go really, really bad.
Yeah.
So I knew late, but I really, really knew this is what I was supposed to do.
So you were 22, 23 years old?
Let's see. All right. So 21 years old, graduated from college, got my first youth ministry degree or first youth ministry job, and got married all in the same year. So no pressure.
Nah. What a way to start.
Yeah. I had it all figured out at that point. Nope.
Where was that first job?
I served at a church in Michigan. So a little church in Cassopolis, Michigan. It was a conservative, pretty fundamental church as well. And was there for about 8 years and just learned everything there is to learn about youth ministry. I was a very slow learner. So made a lot of mistakes and actually kind of quit youth ministry a couple years in even, and had gone to the elders or board or whatever it is and just said, I'm done and I can't handle it. Hmm. And I'm not made for this and I'm done, you know, forget my calling and all of that. And God did a really cool miracle and restored the relationship with the senior pastor and I, which was really, really strained, and really got a vision for what youth ministry could be, and was able to stay at that church almost 6 more years after that too.
Wow.
So kind of fun to be at the very brink and questioning everything, and God doing, you know, to the point where only God could show up he was the only one who could save it and rescue it, because I was done and my wife was done. I think the senior pastor was probably done with me at this point. And so, you know, it was over. And it wasn't like the senior pastor and I became best friends and we're skipping through the forest together or anything like that. But
we, great visual, we figured image, out, by the way.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great? Me and, yeah, but we did become, you know, we ended up working okay together and seeing a lot of lives change and God doing some really great things kind of despite a pretty challenging beginning. And so, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And think what would have happened if you hadn't pushed through that time. The whole trajectory exactly. of your life would have been much different.
Yep. I absolutely. And I have explored that a little bit. I'm not too much of a what if or a regret, you know, I'm not that person, but I've played that game a little bit going, man, if I had given up or if I, you know, if God had chosen to work differently, or just pretty wild how one moment in your story can change it all.
Yeah. So how does a young buck from Michigan now find his way to Southern California?
That's a good question. So I only served in two churches.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and how do I get hooked up on the job of the century? Oh, trust me, you don't want that job. That's a lot of pressure is what it is. Yeah. I took over for a guy named Doug Fields, so no pressure. No shoes to fill there at all. Yeah, yeah. No, it was pretty extraordinary. I came out to Saddleback to visit the church and to go to a conference. This guy named Doug had written a book called Purpose Driven Youth Ministry. And I thought, man, if a church actually did this, it would be pretty amazing. And I read the book going, this is kind of how I would want to do youth ministry if I was doing it right. And and so I said, I need to go check out this church in California. And so I came out in, I don't know, it's probably 20 years ago now, and just saw what could be and believed and wanted to bring it home to Michigan. And my wife saw what could be and was like, let's stay in California and let's do that here. Yeah. And so God had a cool story that he was about to unfold. And so I've served in two churches, 8 years in Michigan at a small rural farm church with, you know, we're literally in the middle of a cornfield. We had 1 acre out of 40 that wasn't corn. It was a church built in the 70s. And that was our, you know, that church has been torn down now and is long gone, but that's where I served my first 8 years and then came out to Saddleback through a pretty crazy set of events. The gist of it was, there was a spot open for a conversation about some of the new stuff that Saddleback and Purpose Driven was really big at the time, what they were doing. And they were looking for a few youth pastors to come out and help with that. And I had no idea that they were also keeping their eye open for someone to help lead their student ministry and be a part of Purpose Driven youth ministry, the conferences and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't too long after that I remember I got my first email from Doug Fields. I've read all of his books and devoured everything. And I was like, this guy's emailing me. Oh my goodness.
This is so great.
And then, and you know, now we work together every day and I can't get him to stop emailing me. So that's Doug, stop. I'm trying to get work done. So eventually turned out just through it. I mean, really it's clearly God working, because no one is good enough to go from, you know, a church with 30 kids in the youth group to a church with hundreds. No one is like networky enough and no one has that much woo or charisma. And it was just God opening a really unique opportunity that honestly at the time felt not only humbling and extraordinary, but also like, I am not qualified for this. Mm-hmm. And they knew that too. And so I like that. Like I had just prayed. I was 29 and I prayed. I said, God, I think I can do this 30 kids in youth ministry thing pretty well. Like I finally figured it out and I can do it. I said, take me to a place that I'm in over my head, like that I will be drowning without you. And because I, you know, the worst case scenario is when you kind of just phone it in and you fake it and you pretend and you're really just empty and you're not challenged. And so I said, God, I want to do something great for you. and I'll do it. But I want it to be so great that I cannot do it in my own power. And like most youth workers, God, you know, if you're in youth ministry, God's given you some talents and gifts and abilities. And I know that I have been given some, but it would be a mistake to lean and depend on those gifts and those powers when God wants to do something far beyond our ability. And so, of course, little did I know, my goodness, that he would take us to Saddleback and that I would, a couple years after being here, would become the high school pastor to take over for Doug. And like, and say we were at the church 13 years. And so same thing that I kind of was talking about earlier, you see the good and the bad and the ugly, you see, you know, even Saddleback, which is a world-class church and it's known all of that. Right. But it's still a really normal church, like painfully normal. Like I think maybe disappointingly normal to people on the outside, even like, oh, you're just a normal church, but you're really big. I get it. Yeah. You know, but same thing. It's got politics. It's got nepotism. It's got drama, and you know, and everything's bigger. So when you that's good. So when you baptize a student, you're like, we're baptizing 20 students, you know, which is fun. But then when, instead of having one parent complain, you have 20 parents complaining, or, you know, right. So everything is, it's just a normal church that just happens to be pretty big,
really big. Yeah.
And, very, very blessed to serve there, for 13 years. So yeah, nuts.
One of the things that struck us during our first conversation on the beach was just the amount of trust that Doug placed in you as a young youth worker, coming from a church of 30 to a church of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you look back on that, would you have done the same thing?
No way. Are you kidding me? If I could choose my replacement, I'm going to go after the sharpest, brightest star you can find. I'm not going to go look at, you know, so I, legitimately, I would not do that. And I'll just pause on Doug for a second, because he also did something pretty extraordinary. We're about to open our student building, and you know, the refinery is what it's called, and it's a massive student building, and it's kind of Doug's, like, his pinnacle, like, of I designed this building for teenagers for the next generation and blah 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 blah. And he could have, like, ridden into the sunset and been the on his throne as he built that and we opened the building. And instead he said, Josh, I want you to be the very first youth pastor in that building. I want you to be the first person to teach in that building. I remember him sitting me down where I were standing, actually, on the dirt that would become the high school room. And there's metal, you know, there's steel beams everywhere. And they're literally in the middle of building this. And he says, you're going to preach from this spot and lives are going to be changed. And God's brought you here for this moment. And I'm stepping aside and it's your turn. And I just don't know of many people in that moment that should have been the celebration of a career would step aside and say, I want that person, this new guy who is not qualified, I want him to have that moment. That's pretty ridiculously humble. And so I don't get a chance to tell many people that story because I work with Doug all the time now, but he was the most humble in transition that I have ever seen. And if we handed off things as well as he handed off the youth ministry to me, youth ministry would be in a very different place.
It's amazing.
Wow. Very cool. So when you decided to transition out of what a lot of people would consider to be the premier job in youth ministry, you know, like, what kind of questions were you asking yourself? What was going through your head as you were, like, considering that change, almost doing what Doug did? Like, how do I step away from this?
Yeah. Well, it's a really good question. It's been a couple of years now, and I still, you know, I run an organization called Download Youth Ministry that Doug and I started together with a buddy of ours at Saddleback, and it's turned into this whole thing now, which is awesome, helping so many churches all around the country. But part of it comes back to my three guiding values that I, like, have just internalized from the very beginning, and they've been this: I want to be the world's best dad. Like, I want to love my kids and be present for them. I have four kids, three of them are teenagers right now. And so I want to be a really incredible dad. I don't always, and not perfect, but I want to be. It's one of my goals. I want to be a really, really great husband. My wife, Angela, has been a pastor's wife for a long time. Mm-hmm. And the spouse of a youth worker, that is not an easy position to be in. And so she has sacrificed much. And so I want to make sure that she's loved and cared for. And I want to be a pretty good youth worker. So those three things, and that's it. And so to me, I would say, as I was nearing the end of what I felt was going to be my time at Saddleback, it was clear that I couldn't be all of those things in the way that I wanted to be. So Saddleback is a full-time, very full-time job with multiple staff and interns and the whole bit. Now they have 400 campuses or something. I don't know, whatever, maybe 10. they're crapping out a new campus every week. Anyhow, it was getting really, really big and really heavy. And then Download Youth Ministry went from this experiment where we're like, let's put up resources for people and see what happens, to like, it was a full-time job. We'd hired a person or two, and it was like, this is a real thing. And my kids just got to an age where they needed more of me, and I was doing some traveling and speaking on top of it. It just felt like I couldn't do it all. And I have the personality that wants to do it all and thinks they can do it all. And so it became clear that I was going to need to make a choice between really great things. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Saddleback and I said, I think my time is done here. And I'm going to transition to help churches all over the country and speak and write and do DYM. And the most difficult part was they were like, yeah, we get it. That sounds like a good plan.
wait, no, fight for me.
Exactly. I was like, wait, no, I'm in charge of this. I'm breaking up with you. You're not breaking up with me. And it was a really painful but beautiful moment of God releasing me as well. But it's hard because I want to control the narrative, and I want the church to come begging for their savior. And that is not that's not who I am, but that's also not what they needed. And so they weren't anxious, but they were ready to pivot. And I love that God allowed that to happen, just to keep everybody nice and humble, which is great. And also to realize that there's a new chapter that he is unfolding with Download Youth Ministry. And I can walk into that with confidence that that's what he wants me to do. So it's our home church. So we love it, but we're in a different season now, and that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just as an aside, I would say, I think it is a season. I don't know what God's going to do, but I stinking love the church too much to stay in only a volunteer capacity for too long. Cause I love the church. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be Saddleback, but mm-hmm. I'm going to be in a church at some point. It's in me. I'm called to it. I can't shake it.
That's great. You actually jumped like 7 questions ahead of us. Where we said, you ever see yourself going back into the local church?
I do. 3 years tops. Yeah. If you're hiring, let me know.
Okay. We're looking for a summer intern if you're interested. Yeah.
I would be a great summer intern.
Summer intern for the girls ministry. Are you up for that?
If it's junior high girls, I know nothing, because that's where one of mine is right now. I know nothing. Okay.
Can you talk about some times when you felt really overwhelmed or humbled in student ministry?
Yeah. Do you mean in a good way or in a bad way?
Well, yeah, either, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a day, I mean, probably the best day in youth ministry ever, where my arms were sore from baptizing students, like overwhelmed that I get to play a small role in that, where we baptized a really significant number of kids. And it was just so special. I'll never, ever forget that moment. So overwhelming with gratitude to be a part of it, but also overwhelming with how rich youth ministry can be. And I definitely don't mean rich as in pay, but it can be very, very rich in what we get to do and how we care for people. And so I would say that's a positive one. One this is reaching back pretty far, but I remember a kid named Matt in my youth group in Michigan, and he was from a single family home. So he, it was just he and his mom and little brother. And we were at his high school graduation, and he said, you know, Josh, I look up to you like a dad. And that was a really nice thing for someone to say that I don't think I understood as like a 24-year-old, but I do now. And that is an overwhelming statement that someone could say to you that I think I understand a little more now, being a father and being a parent and all of that. Mm-hmm. Youth ministry is really, really heavy. And I don't think that anyone adequately explains that ahead of time, because we're excited about, you know, the Xbox and pizza and all of that business. And it's also really, it's also spiritual warfare. And we're doing combat on the front lines of Generation Z right now. And so I think I would warn people going into youth ministry that it's not all fun and games. It is fun and games, but it's not all fun and games. It's also that we are the tip of the spear. We are running in when everybody else is running out. We are the people that are desperately trying to reach a generation that is quickly abandoning faith. Mm-hmm. And so your job is more important than you'll ever know. The impact mm-hmm. that you make, you'll never know until heaven, the impact that you're making. So, yeah, I've had really, really good days, and I've had some really heavy days too. It's not an easy calling.
No, it's not. Along those lines, like, what are some things that discourage you? I mean, again, you're the joyful, optimistic, always laughing on stage and getting yep. after it, but that there have to be some parts of youth ministry that are just discouraging and just tough. Like, what are some of those?
They are. That's great. I would say I am that guy. I'm glad that you know that's how I'm wired, because I am. I'm like optimistic to a fault. This isn't an act. This is just who I am. I'm going to laugh a lot and play a lot. That's true. So when I get defeated by something, it's got me bad, because I can fight through a lot of speed bumps before, you know, whatever, it goes sideways. So I would say church politics just crush me. Man, if you want to defeat me, just, I mean, I can play the game, and you have to sometimes, but church politics are really, really defeating. Budgets are so defeating. If you're lucky enough to even have a budget, it's never enough. And I was blessed one year with a pretty significant budget, and I still overspent it, and I still was terrible. Like, they should never trust me with money ever, because I'll just spend it. I'll find a way. I think the most defeating thing for me, like when it really gets me, is when I see a kid who like is following Jesus and they're getting it and they're on the right track. And you're like, this is the poster child of my youth group. And you're like, that's the one. And then at some point in college or even high school, whatever, it goes sideways, or they walk away from their faith, or something catastrophic happens in their life, and it all comes, you know, unglued or whatever. Or you see them years later on Instagram, and you're like, oh my goodness, put on some clothes. What happened? Or why are you doing that? Or why are you glorifying that? And so I think those are the most difficult, when you're like, I've poured my life into these teenagers, and if this kid can't make it, then there's no hope for any of them. Like, that's when I get defeated. That's when things get a little sideways in my heart. And I'm eternally optimistic. And so I would just say, God, this one's on you. This one is out of my hands. I've done everything humanly possible, and I need your spirit to transform a heart, because it's out of my hands. And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's kind of the same message that Doug Field shared at the end of NYWC.
Yes.
Some of the discouraging moments, you know, he was talking about, he was at a wedding or something with a bunch of former students, and a lot of them had walked away, and how hard that is to hear those stories.
Yeah. So true. Youth ministry is a calling of extremes. And so you're going to feel extremely rich and rewarding at times. And it's also going to be extremely weighty and extremely heavy and extremely difficult. There will be times of of plenty where you're like, this is what youth ministry is all about. And there will be times of want where you question everything. You know, for me, the spring, like late winter, early spring is one of the hardest times in youth ministry because, you know, you're the hype of summer, you know, the great fall back to school kickoff, even like the new year, all that stuff is gone. And you're in kind of this lull, you know, your seniors are checked out or long gone at this point. And so to me, I can be really defeated in this particular season right here as like the weather's still not turned great. We don't have summer camp yet looming. And so, yeah, there's a moment in this season that's pretty challenging too. Yeah.
You're in Southern California. Don't talk to us about weather not being so great.
Hey, there was a cloud today, guys.
It was terrible. My goodness.
There's a cloud.
There's snow? What?
There was snow. I don't know if I can see it from here. On the mountain.
On the mountain.
It's 60 here, but up on the mountain there was.
Oh, there was 6 inches of snow in my back yard yesterday.
Oh, no, thank you. No, I had lake effect snow in Michigan. And literally I prayed and said, God, just take me somewhere where I can see the sun.
There you go.
Gosh, other than Doug, who have some of your mentors been?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say growing up, there was always a youth leader in my life. So I would point to even in elementary school as a preteen, there was a great adult man, Mr. O'Leary was his name. In my youth group years, Jim was a volunteer firefighter. He mentored me growing up. As a youth pastor much later in life, there was a really, really great guy named Jerry, who is an awesome youth worker and just related to students so well. And I learned so much from him. So I've been very fortunate from an early age to have other people pouring into my life. Then as a youth minister for a long time, I was alone. Like this is in the age when you didn't have Facebook groups. The internet wasn't a thing. I mean, I think I had a cell phone, which was pretty cutting edge when I started. And that was one of the huge downsides of youth ministry is that you felt so lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd read a book and you would devour it, you know, because that was like someone else was doing youth ministry. And I remember the first time I went to like a convention or a conference and was just blown away that other people had experienced what I was experiencing. And so I think today youth workers have it pretty easy because there's a veteran youth worker within an arm's reach. And there's definitely the most incredible groups on Facebook and all that as well. Mm-hmm. I think I lived through some pretty dark years of youth ministry. And you guys, I'm sure, have a similar story. You know, for a while.
we lived a few of those years as well.
Yeah. And you had to just lean into books too. Like when I read Doug's like Purpose-Driven Youth Ministry or first 2 years, that was all that existed. And so, you know, they became very important to you. I read Sustainable Youth Ministry by Mark DeVries, and that was a really influential book. Really early in ministry, when I was really defeated, I wrote a book. It's out of print now, but it was called The Heart of a Great Pastor by H.B. London. And there's a chapter that says, bloom where you're planted. And I held on to that truth like it was the scripture itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't have the privilege of mentoring and coaching and cohorts and internet communities. We were kind of out there in the Wild West in the early days. And so very, very fortunate now to have some men in my life, Doug included, that know the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that still challenge me. I think one of the attitudes that I would encourage young youth workers to have, though, is ask for feedback. Like if you have someone in visiting your youth ministry who has outside eyes or is listening to you communicate or whatever it is, invite feedback into your life and invite, because I just think most people are kind of like on whatever, this is what we do. This is how I speak. This is whatever. And to invite feedback, there's someone out there who has good feedback for you, but you just haven't asked for it yet. And so if you're in a position where someone is mentoring you or giving you some insight, I would say, ask them for a little list of things that they would change or that you could improve on too.
Yeah. So you're a relatively creative guy. You've made a few funny videos in the year. You wrote some solid resources that get devoured. Where do you find your creative like juices? Where do you get inspiration for these creative ideas?
Yeah. That's a really, really good question. I think you are born with some of it. I think you can develop some of it with the people that you're around. So I'm around some pretty creative people, Doug and others, that push me, which is fun. I find inspiration in really crazy places. So I'll give you an example of my favorite teaching series we've ever done. It was called 11 Versus the World. And I was watching Women's World Cup soccer. Don't judge me. And thank you. And they had this commercial and it was like 11 women versus the world. And it was awesome. And I was like, this is great. Like, we should do a series called 11 versus the world. It would be about the disciples. And I was like, there's 12 of them. That's too bad. Whoa, Judas, this is great. And so my first time I was ever excited for Judas. And then I felt bad for Matthias because he now doesn't get included because it's 11 versus the world. So anyhow, I just, like, my whole mind spun off into this idea of I'm going to do a lesson on the disciples and blah, 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 blah. So then as I'm developing the series, I'm like, I think everyone knows the disciples. So what if I go after the unknown disciples like Bartholomew and James the Less and Thaddeus? And so it kind of just spun to, like, how can I do this differently than what has been taught already? And at the time there was this version of the Bible called the Glow Bible that had just come out, and you could take a 360 tour of Peter's house or something.
Is that like the WWE Bible? What is that?
Yeah. It's a very, very popular, very violent Bible. You open it up, it has its own walkout music. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it had, like, these really high end graphics and stuff. So I started teaching that series with, like, the Bible as my backdrop. And so instead of teenagers hearing about, like, back in Jerusalem, this happened. Now they're seeing Jerusalem, or they're seeing a fish being cooked on the shore by Galilee. So they're real places. And so creativity just strikes in funny ways and in funny places. I just try to embrace other people's creativity, and then outside inspiration is really, really big for me. So even today, this is funny. Today, I was looking at this conference. It was a hip-hop, social media hip-hop conference.
Sweet.
And I was like, I want to go to that because they list all the speakers. And I have no idea who they are. And they're like, this artist is going to be there. I have no idea who that is, but I want to go because it's going to unlock something new, a different way. There's a lot of great people that are thinking really creatively that aren't in the church. And so I want to see what else is happening out there and see if it triggers something inside of me. So yeah. But just as an aside, I would say the group brainstorm with the right people in the room is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, like, sure.
Surround yourself with a couple of great people, get a whiteboard, and go nuts and push yourself. Like, yeah, I mean, the first idea is not the best idea. Like, sometimes brainstorms and creativity get stalled so quickly because you have a pretty good idea. Everyone's like, that's a great idea. And you've been there for 5 minutes, you know? And so I try to arm myself with 4 or 5 ideas just so that we don't get stuck on the first one. There's a couple of ideas for you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So now you find yourself as kind of a youth pastor to youth pastors, or a pastor to youth pastors, which is a different role, different skill set than you were using in the day-to-day youth ministry. So how have your gifts been expressed in that kind of venue differently than they were before? And related to that, we wonder, what do you do when you come across youth workers who really you decide aren't gifted to do this?
That's terrible. I like it. I will answer it, but it's terrible.
Well, we may edit it, but we'll see what you say.
yeah, please. I would say this, that it's not too different. Like, I view now as a pastor of youth pastors, which is a very kind title. Thank you for that. I like that description. Like, I like that thought of going, you know, when we have people out here at an event, or if I get to, you know, I'm so used to pouring into our volunteers at a church level that it's so fun to get to do that on a youth work or, you know, at a gathering or a conference. Cause I feel like instead of me impacting this one church, I get a chance to change, you know, 100 churches or 150 churches or whatever. And so the exponential side of it is really fun. Mm-hmm. But I would say it is a little, it's a little different skill set. It's also remarkably similar. You know, youth pastors, there, a lot of them are kids at heart.
They're children. They're heart. Children. You can say
they're
it.
Children. They're fun. They're really, yeah. really fun.
Yeah.
Most youth workers are so hungry and they want to learn and they want to grow. And so that, like, that participatory or hunger, I don't know what the right word is for it, but I love that. Sometimes I get to speak to adults and it just feels like, I don't know, I just, a big church is not my calling. But youth workers and teenagers, that's where I belong. And so honestly, it's not a ton different. Dallin Youth Ministry is built on the fact that youth workers have something to share with other youth workers. So they have a resource, a game, a video, a teaching. Occasionally, you'll meet some people that are not gifted in that area. And so we try to let them down very easily. And we'll do everything we can to help develop that. Like if your item is rejected from Dallin Youth Ministry, usually it is accompanied by some feedback. So we'll try to help someone be better. Here's one thing I don't like though. Just, I don't like it when people are, I don't know if it's too networky or they're trying to be the next big thing. Like my kids, when they play video games a lot, and so does their dad, but they would call them a tryhard. A tryhard is someone who their whole, they just can't stop thinking about being the best in the world at Fortnite or having the number of wins in Apex Legends or whatever. They're just a tryhard. And I think in youth ministry sometimes, and maybe I don't totally get this because I kind of stumbled into this thing. I don't have a 5-year plan. I wasn't jonesing to be the next big thing. I don't think I am, but I wasn't like, that wasn't my target and goal. And God has just given some platform, which I am very thankful for. But I think when I sniff out arrogance, like someone who's a turd, it bums me out. It bums me out.
Yeah.
Like humility in youth ministry is underrated. And I think it's the next big thing. Show me a humble youth worker who is loving their students, loving Jesus, trying to help other youth workers. That's somebody I want to get behind. That's somebody who I believe in. That's a person, honestly, that I want to give platform to. Like, it's a privilege now to run Download Youth Ministry because I feel like we get to help people with their platforms. And so I want to give it away to people that are honorable and humble and have a sensitive heart towards God, not the person who's faking it till they make it and showy and perfect and glossy. Like, that actually bums me out a little bit. If you're not real, I don't really want to hang with you.
Yeah. Fair enough. Keeping
it real right there. Yeah.
Thanks.
So as you get, you know, you're connected all over in youth ministry. So as you kind of see the big picture, what excites you most about the future of youth ministry?
Yeah. Well, as you said earlier, I'm a hope-filled person. And so what excites me the most about youth ministry is lives being changed. Kids coming to know Christ their Savior, kids being baptized. Man, baptism is my favorite moment in the entire world. Youth ministry is not dead. Like, I think now I get to travel and speak more. So I've been in, I don't know, Texas, Virginia, Kansas City, back to Texas. I'll be in Indiana tomorrow. Like, I get to see youth ministry and it's working. Like, I'm seeing packed winter retreats and huge events and churches that are healthy and some churches that are really supportive of their youth ministry and their youth pastors. Like, and again, I'm optimistic to a fault. I get that. But I'm like, youth ministry is changing lives. God's doing a great work through it. I think people that are predicting the end of youth ministry, the end of the professional youth worker, I think those are a little exaggerated. Mm-hmm. So I think God's not done yet. And I'm happy to be encouraging teenagers and helping you know, the adults with the resource side of things too. Sure.
Yeah. I think that's the next movie series. God's not done yet.
And God's still not done yet. He's not done. He's surely alive. Anyhow. No, I just think there's enough people saying what's wrong with youth ministry. And I'm just going, there's a lot of things right with it. And I want to change and I want to be a part of the next wave that God uses, but I'm not convinced he's done with this. So yeah. One of the things I'm most excited about from Download Youth Ministry is we're doing a big event in September of this year called the National Day of Youth Ministry Training for Volunteers. And it's going to be a really, really cool day where we get to train a ton of volunteers all over the country on September 21st.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. That's great. So there's hundreds of locations across the U.S. and I just think it's going to be really special. We've actually filmed the whole thing already and it's incredible. And the idea is, you know, we want to say the same things that you've been training and teaching your volunteers, but say them on a national level and continue this movement across the country. So it's going to be really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thank you for hosting too. That's awesome. If anybody wants to check it out, it's trainmyvolunteers.com and jump in.
Yeah. We'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah, please. That'd be great.
Well, Josh, tell us, we're wrapping up here. I mean, really appreciate your time. We know you probably have things to go do. So, but if you were to give advice, if you were to give advice to people to stay in youth ministry for a long time, what would the key ingredients to longevity be in your eyes?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. I'll start on a little higher level. I would just say, I hope that is what happens in our profession. Like if you're a full-time youth worker in particular, you're so needed and your longevity is so needed. There's so many blessings that you will miss if you don't stay in a church a long time. You know, I get to do a lot of weddings for kids in my former youth ministry, and that's so rich and so fun. You know, soon I'm sure some of the kids in my youth ministry will be coming through, which is nuts too. So we need longevity, where you know the family history and you know their stories and you just care for people over decades instead of months. So anyhow, I'll start there. I think the key to longevity, there's probably a couple things. One is you got to know your priorities. So you have to know what you're going to prioritize in life. I've told you my three: family, wife, and ministry. And so those are competing and they're also complementary. So they're beautiful. Like I love having my kids in the ministry, but there are other times when my kids, they have to sacrifice for the ministry and vice versa. And so I'm so thankful my kids have been raised in the church and in youth ministry, but I also know that they've sacrificed for it. And I want to honor that. And even at the end of the year, we sit the family down and we talk about what God did and how they shared in that as well, in the number of kids that trusted Jesus, or, you know, dad is away for a couple of days on a trip or whatever, and how they get to participate in that. So I think knowing your priorities is a really, really big one. From a place of total honesty, I would say you also have to really know your own spiritual heart and your condition. And I realize this could be a very churchy answer, but I think it's worth repeating that for years in youth ministry, I would just have this Christian mask and facade, and everybody thought that I was spiritual and godly because I knew all the right things to say, or even the empathetic, you know, eyes and all of that. And I would say inside I was really, really empty and dry and distant, and no one knew because I was a really, really good actor. And so I would say, if you want to be in youth ministry a long time, you have to take off the mask. Someone has to know the real you. And you have to be honest about where you're at spiritually. There are seasons. They're totally seasons of youth ministry that are really good or really bad, all that. But it can't be a season where you're spiritually dry for multiple seasons, and pretty soon it's not a season. It's just you're living in that place. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage, you know, especially, you know, I was born in a Christian family around Christian stuff. I memorized a ton of verses. I have a pretty deep well of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I want that well to be filled and overflowing by the current spring of what Jesus is doing in my heart, not running bone dry because I continue to dip it well and there's no filling anymore. And so, yeah, take off the mask and make sure you have a mentor. Otherwise, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Good. Great advice. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I used to joke when I was younger, I was like, man, if you just stay in youth ministry for 10 years, you can teach this stuff because there won't be anybody left. And then I realized after 10 years, I was like, oh crap, I'm the only one here. Like, I am going to teach this. And you know, 20 years, the herd thins out a little bit. But there's a lot of great wisdom in the people that are left standing. And I would love it if we measured the careers of youth ministers in decades instead of months. You know, mm-hmm. If 20 years wasn't like, wow, he's been in there for 20 years. Like, I'd like it to be only 20. You know, he's young.
He's spring chicken.
It does seem like there's more and more people staying with it longer, which is really encouraging.
I agree.
Yeah. Are you still going to be in youth ministry when you're 60?
I hope so. We'll see. I've heard about a really good summer internship I'm thinking about applying for.
I want to see what the announcement videos will look like with 60-year-old Josh Griffin.
There'll be a little bit of gray in there. That's for sure. Holy smokes.
For sure.
But at least I still have my hair. I mean, I teased Doug. He's losing a lot of his. I still have a decent amount of hair. Mine's just now turning gray, which I don't like, but oh, well.
It's very distinguished.
Who's a better CrossFitter, you or Doug?
You know what? In about 20 minutes, I'm going to go. We're going to decide. We're meeting up for CrossFit today. So,
oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll see. Here's the truth. My buddy Doug Fields, co-founded Download Youth Ministry with me, blah, 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 blah. America's youth pastor. Got it. He is strong. He works hard. Like, this is his wiring, though. He writes really well, but he's meticulous at it. But his CrossFit workout is nuts. He is
no joke, right? No joke.
No joke. He is a beast in the gym, which you can tell. I mean, I hate it that he looks so good, but
you have better calves.
Way better calves. Yeah. Too bad this wasn't a video podcast. You could see him.
You could see him. That's right.
Not as good as Heather's, but impressive nonetheless.
Dude, Heather Fleece, that girl is so strong. She hurts you when she hugs you.
That's amazing. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time today, man. We really appreciate it, and your story is hopefully inspiring to those that are listening, and yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's going to encourage a lot of people, Josh. Just like you said, ridiculously normal, or however you phrased it, is how you came across, and we love that.
Well, thank you, guys. It's an honor to be on your show. Like, legitimately, tell me what I can do to promote it when it goes live or whatever, because I'd be all about it. So
okay,
thanks.
We will surely let you know, and yeah, we'll this thing will blow the internet up probably.
Can't wait, guys.
Yeah, we're gonna break the internet. I'm excited.
But seriously, no smoke. I really, really like you guys. Thank you for being the real deal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And again, thanks for your time today. And good luck in that CrossFit workout there with Doug.
Yeah.
All right. Got to get there at 4. We're meeting up. So.
All right, man.
You guys are the best. We'll
talk to you later. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Just wow, what a great conversation.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
She's amazing.
Yeah, so well-spoken and so accessible to us. We just really appreciate your time, Josh. Thanks for that. Yeah, he had so much great wisdom to share. What were some of the things, or maybe one thing that you thought, wow, this is what I'm really going to take from this interview?
I mean, probably the big thing was that he has these three core values that have just shaped who he is not just as a youth worker, but as a person. This, I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband, and I want to be a good youth worker. Mm-hmm. He talked about how he's just a painfully normal guy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to me, I'm like, I feel painfully normal. And so that was just, it was encouraging to me.
Yeah. And I think we should all be encouraged by that, because youth ministry is built in the trenches by everyday people like us. And if we can encourage and help other youth workers to keep going and use these interviews for that end, we'll have done our job.
That's right. Because that's what the Youth Ministry Sherpas do. We encourage youth workers to keep going.
You know, going out to download Youth Ministry 200 out in California last fall might be the smartest thing we've ever done.
I'm going to go ahead with the yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty good thing.
Such a good time. We got to meet so many great people and make this connection with folks at Download Youth Ministry. We want to make sure that you check them out. If you're not already involved with Download Youth Ministry, if you haven't listened to their podcast network, if you haven't checked out the store, the site.
Hashtag gold member perks. Yes. Hashtag gold member perks. Come on. Find a way. There's so many great resources on DYM. They're doing an absolute amazing thing, giving such a platform to lots of different talented youth workers who didn't before have the platform. It's an incredible system. You need to check it out.
We really are in the golden age of youth ministry.
It's unbelievable.
The resources that we have at our disposal now are just incredible. And DYM is largely responsible for that.
Yeah, I mean, Josh talked about some of those dark days in youth ministry where you felt alone on an island. You had to read a book. I mean, who reads books anymore?
I still read books.
I know you do. I know. I'm just kidding. But I mean, you just talked about the resources that are at our fingertips now. It is a wonderful time to be alive in youth ministry.
True. One thing you want to make sure you do is check out the National Day of Volunteer Youth Ministry Training. It's available at over 200 locations nationwide, September 21st. Did you know that for $99 right now, the early bird, you can take your entire volunteer team?
The whole team for $99.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
And you're going to hear from some pretty incredible presenters that day and do it in community with other people in your local area. So definitely do that. Go to trainmyvolunteers.com, check out what's happening, and make sure you get your volunteers to a location near you.
And sign up for Download Youth Ministry Gold Membership as soon as possible and get with the people.
For sure.
So again, thanks to Josh for taking the time today to speak with us. And we appreciate his wisdom and his friendship and his support of this podcast.
We just absolutely love connecting with youth workers. So we want you to reach out, find us.
Yeah.
So one last time, a big thanks to Josh Griffin for giving up some of his valuable time to spend some time with a couple knuckleheads from Maryland called the Youth Ministry Sherpas.
We'll be back next month with the next edition of the Sherpa Legends series. You can also check out our regular show, Youth Ministry Sherpas Podcast, every week. We release on Tuesdays, and we'd love to have you check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well. Follow along and interact with us. We will do anything we can to help youth workers to keep going.
So tune in to our next episode. Until then,
Sherpas out.